chapter 28, 19 and 20. So this deals with the Lord's assembly here, the Great Commission given, and Great Commission was given to disciples. It's the Great Commission is found in all four Gospels and different renderings, but all of it, all locks together, obviously. And the importance of the local church that we have here, and so on. So the apostles in the book of Acts, the book of Acts is about church planting. That's what it's about. Book of Acts about church planting. It's about soul winning, for sure, but it's about baptizing and starting churches. And so that's just significant. Now, I have a handout for you. I want to give you a handout that relates to church and church behavior. So we got this handout going around. Got three hole punched. And so, with Matthew 28, 19, and 20, we could have numerous messages coming out of this section here. But this is called the downward spiral of church members. All right, so everybody gets a copy. And snap those yellow notebooks open. So we can all do that in unison now. Snap, snap, snap. Okay. And to keep this with you. All right. So the downward spiral of church members. So it's adopted and adapted. A couple weeks ago when my wife and I took a birthday trip and anniversary trip out to Ohio. We stopped by and saw the Blairs, and he gave me this that he got from a former pastor here in Connecticut. And so I adopted some of this and then I adapted some of this. But I think this is good. So this has to do with the downward spiral of church members. So we've been here since 2009. I was saved back in 1969, so I've been involved in churches, local churches, and on a regular and steady basis, my wife and I and family, through the years. And so we've seen some of this, but let's look at this. So we've got, you've heard of 3D, this is 9D. All right, so something for us to think collectively as a church, individually as church members, and as we think about ourselves and also about others. So in all of this, I do not have any one individual in mind, but I do have the whole assembly and the history of our assembly in mind. All right, follow that? So let's look here. So number one, as we see a spiral, downward spiral or descent. Quite often, this comes when a distraction comes up with a church member. So here we have a church member, they're going to church and so on, and a distraction comes. Because of this distraction, church is no longer a priority in their Christian life, but it starts to move away because something else becomes a priority. Now, it could be anything. I give a list of certain things here. So it could be employment. All of a sudden now I have to work on Sunday. Or because of inflation, I've got to pick up hours. And so I'm going to start picking up hours on Sunday and Wednesday and so on. All right. Now understand, you know, the finances and all this and so on. But, you know, it's just that my priority in life is not church any longer, so I may allow things to get in the way. You follow that? Now, in some of these things, there's an innocency, so we have to examine is this pulling me away, or is this just a new development in life, and I'm just going to come right back to church life? It becomes a priority, even though I have other things going on. Our relationships. So my relationship with wife or children or parents or dating, something like that, comes along, and all of a sudden I'm getting pulled away. Distraction. Maybe a tragedy comes in somebody's life, and so I've had a major tragedy, and whatever reasons, I just can't come back to church anymore. Or maybe sometimes when tragedies happen, people say, I've been a faithful church member, and this major tragedy happened to me, and where is God now? I mean, you learn about this in Job. All right, so where's the Lord in this? He's failed me, so I'm not so interested in church anymore. Or politics, or technology. Boy, I've got all the latest technology here, and I just like to stay home and play with it. Technology. Personal projects. Hobbies. I've got hobbies now. At my stage in life, I've picked up a hobby, and now it's pulling me away. Our pets, animals, our personal Bible study and translation issues. I'll come back to that. Our addictions. And now I started taking cold medicine, and all of a sudden it led to something else stronger, and now, you know, I'm enjoying alcohol, or I'm enjoying my cough medicine regularly. I mean, it's just great. And our sports, football season's coming in. Uh-oh. I can remember years ago when we went to churches that met at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and the Super Bowl came along, and it was a given. Church, we're canceling. Pastor says we're canceling church tonight because I know everybody's been watching Super Bowl. Or we know many of you men will be missing Super Bowl Sunday night, and so we understand that. No, you don't understand that. That's not right. Right? So, you know, football or basketball or whatever. Or immorality. Maybe people get off in some sort of immorality. Maybe it's a physical immorality or a visual immorality. But they get caught up in something. So it's pulled away. That's distraction. So these are some of these things are legitimate things that come into our life, but all of a sudden we say, I'm putting my focus there and on the local church and church attendance. Then this is where the distraction is going to lead us to another step. You follow that? Another step. Now, I mentioned Bible study and translation issues. Well, how can that be a problem? Well, I know an example in particular, but sometimes people in general say, yeah, I can study my Bible at home. In fact, I've studied on the internet and looked at, different programs. I got a program that, you know, my pastor doesn't give me anything. I can find it on the internet or do my own personal study, and I don't need to go to church anymore. I know more than my pastor. Well, maybe you do. Amen. Have at it. Go ahead and study in detail. That's great. But this quite often happens here. But I know one example shared with the men here in our church that somebody in the area church was attempting to come across as a guru in King James Bible study. All right. So studying the King James Bible, this is great. But became a guru, but then he approached this from a pure rationalistic point of view, and all of a sudden he realized, wait a minute, I've got questions. Now, in the Christian life, we have questions. We do have questions. We have questions about the triune Godhead. I can't answer everything about that. I've got questions about how the Lord works, like we're going through the book of Job. Sometimes he allows the wicked to live long lives. Sometimes he takes righteous people short and quickly in life, and so on. So I've got questions. Well, we're not to answer everything. We can't answer everything. We will never answer everything. We'll learn more and more about the Lord throughout eternity, but How can we understand an infinite God? So it's going to take us eternity to understand an infinite God. You think of that. So does eternity end? No. Will our understanding of an infinite God end? No. And so we can't even comprehend this. You follow that? But we can't answer everything. But we need to believe what we do know. And so in this one particular subject here, this individual couldn't correlate some things. And so he now has given up on the King James Bible. He's gone to a church that uses the English Standard Version and so on. And so several of us, in talking with this individual, indicated you're on your road to apostasy. That's where you're going to end up. So just as illustration here, here we have for the New Testament text, all right, so we call this TR for the King James, all right, New Testament text. And so the New Testament text has been honored by the Lord for 412 years, all right, 1611 up to this present time. So the Lord's honored this for 412 years. He hasn't honored the Geneva Bible, which came before the King James Bible. He hadn't honored that, although some people use it and so on. Nothing wrong with the Geneva Bible. Or the Tyndale translation of the New Testament. He hasn't honored that, but that's been around before the King James. So in all of this, then, we have, here's the King James text. Here is the, what we call the critical text. And the difference here is about 7%. 7%. This is about 7% smaller. Or those who want to use the critical text say, no, King James people came along, or the TR people came along and added to the original text. Now we say, here's the original text, it's the bigger text, and the enemy came along and diminished it. Follow that? So that's the whole issue here. The issue then here is modern versions. Are based on the critical text. So this would be any of them, American Standard Version, NIV, English Standard Version. The RSV, the English Standard Version, is a Christian version of the RSV, they say. And on and on and on. On and on. So the difference between King James and modern versions is about 7%. Now, those of the modern versions say the modern versions are easier to read. They're easy to read. Well, some places they are. But in some places, they're not easier to read. They're confounding and confusing. So anyway, so since the modern, since the King James is hard to read, let's go with another translation that's easier. But when you get the easier to read, you get less words. You follow that? And so this is what's going on here. So we look at it from a external point of view. What translation in English? We're talking about in English. What translation in English is the Lord honored? He's honored the King James 412 years. Geneva came before the King James. He hasn't honored that, although people use it. The Tyndale New Testament came along before that, but he hasn't honored that per se. People don't use that as a Greek text. They use the TR. So this is basically the whole difference of all this. So churches will say today, and some of the churches that we've associated with in the past say this, the King James is so hard to read that we're going with an easier reader. But the assumption is, oh, the easier reading translation is based on the same full amount of Greek words as the King James. It's just easier to read. That's not true. So you're getting 7% of a New Testament missing when you go with the modern versions. Now the big issue here is when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and he says, why didn't you believe this verse over here and practice it? Why didn't you believe this verse over here? Are we going to say, well, Lord, you know, I used the NIV and that verse wasn't in the NIV, so I'm not held accountable. Is the Lord going to accept that? You follow that? So we're accountable for the revelation he has given. This has been concocted by liberal scholars. So that's just a general view here, general. That's all you need to know. But the modern versions that the churches are using, they're all using, in the New Testament, a text that is smaller. You have fewer words in it. Well, they may be easier, but you don't have the full text. And in fact, in some of the English standard or some of the modern versions, and I've studied this out, some modern versions have hard to read verses, even in the modern version. So that's really not the issue. All right. So anyway, so some people get caught up in this. So it's one individual he's talking about. Oh, he's going to do his personal Bible study. He became a guru in the church, and so he was right. Was under really subtly undermining the pastor at the point here, and now he was called out on it, so he left. Now he's going to a church that uses the English Standard Version, thinks he's the guru, the scholar, and so on, and it's a Reformed Baptist church, of all things. So, but you see, in all of this, there's this distraction. All right, secondly, there's a dissent. So the dissent has to do an attitude. Attitude of contempt towards Christianity, church members, church members, and or the pastor. There's a dissent. So an attitude of contempt. So it may be guarded, but nevertheless, there's the attitude of contempt, dissent. And there's the disagreements. Disagreements within the local church starts with little things in the church, such as the physical settings. So I'm now bringing in some personal background of our church here. Had somebody say, why do you have to have burgundy blinds? Burgundy blinds. Why do you have to have burgundy blinds? Well, what color do you want? That's my choice. I chose burgundy blinds. All right. No, I want green ones. No, sorry, they're going to be burgundy. Somebody has to make the final choice, and I made the final choice. All right. Okay. All right. Good. And we got extra handouts here now, maybe. Okay. Good. All right, appreciate that. All right, good to have visitors here. Amen. Right, yeah. All right, so we're building this off of Matthew 28:19-20, Great Commission, but we're looking at the downward spiral of church members within churches. All right, so this is what occurs here occasionally in churches. And so we don't want downward spiral of church members in our church. So here's how we look out for it. We look out, number one, for me, and number two, for anybody else. We're on the lookout. So disagreement starts with the physical settings. Somebody complained, why do you have these Bible verses around the building? Well, what do you want us to have? These are reminders of what we're trying to do here. Bible verses. This is the place of blessing where we're in the Word of God, right? I mean, these. Why Bible verses in a church? Why not? What do you want to have? All right. So the pictures out in the hallway. Why do you have those pictures out in the hallway? Well, they're a testimony that we're fulfilling what the Lord wants us to do, and that's to train men for the Lord's work. That's what we're doing. And so just as the Lord wanted the Jews to put 12 stones in the Jordan River as they passed over the Jordan as a testimony of his goodness and their faithfulness, that's what we have here. We have visible testimonies. Now, you can say, oh, no, I know what they really are. Well, to the pure, all things are pure. So you have an attitude? You have an attitude on these things? You follow that? All right, then programs. You got programs or you don't have programs. Programs or lack of programs, doesn't matter. Dress codes or lack of dress codes. Songs and music. Why do you always sing those old hymns? Why not use, sing some of the contemporary work that goes on there? Well, we have reason for this. Criticism. Pastor's behavior in personal and public. So criticisms. I don't like the way the pastor preaches. I don't like the way he clears his throat in his preaching. You know, he's no golden tongue. Well, that's for sure. But sometimes the truth still ekes out. Think of that. Somehow it gets out. All right. Or different things. I don't like his humor. Or I don't like his lack of humor. Spurgeon said, if you knew how much humor I wanted to bring into the pulpit, you'd be surprised. But he had to cut it down. So anyway, it's whatever. Whatever goes on, somebody doesn't like it. You follow that? So disagreements start. Little things. So if you have problems about verses around the building, come and talk to me about it. Or other things in the listening area. Then, so disagreements, distancing, avoiding members in conversation, fellowship and church services, not participating in church ministries or programs. You know, so this would be an ongoing pattern. I understand that sometimes people can't do things, being involved in projects and project programs, whatever we have going on here. Then there's a disappearance. There's a coming late, leaving early to church services, or starting to miss services and activities regularly. Excusing self for physical problems, not feeling good, oversleeping, conflicting meanings, or lack of transportation. Now, I understand. People get sick. They don't feel good. I understand it. But when this just becomes a regular pattern, I'm not feeling good again this week. All right, been to the doctor? No, I just, when Sunday morning rolls around at 10 o'clock, I'm just not feeling good. Well, how do you think I feel? 10 o'clock. Maybe I don't feel good. Maybe I've got an ache or pain or a headache or this or that. So, understand, so, you know, we have to examine ourselves. If you're not feeling good, if you got COVID, don't show up. I got that. All right, but I think we're past COVID right now, so need another excuse, right? All right, then de-evaluating. De-evaluating, rather. Taking the high moral ground. Here I am. I'm the examiner of the church, and I'm taking the high moral ground that there are major problems in this church, but not with me. Finding fault with church members or leaders or the pastor. Oh, that's the Limburger syndrome. Do you remember the Limburger? The Limburger syndrome. Limburger is a cheese that apparently tastes good, but it smells terrible. So the man who had a mustache ate Limburger on one day, and he got Limburger on his mustache, and he walked around, and he went to the library, and he said, I went to the library, and that place stunk. And he went to the doctor's office. He went to the doctor's office and said, that place stunk. He went down to the grocery store and bought groceries. He said, I went in there, and that place stunk. Comes back home and says, everywhere I went, it stunk. And his wife said, that's because you got Limburger cheese on your mustache. So, if you think everything stinks, maybe that starts with you. All right? All right, so, avoid the Limburger syndrome. All right, then departure. Begins with missing services, eventually forsaking the assembly and so on. And then defamation. Defamation comes in. Hypercritical of everything, but especially of the pastor. He must be a terrible person. And certainly he's an apostate. And this gets spread out. Our pastor, he's such a terrible person. And he teaches heresy on a regular basis. And so spreading this criticism to everyone in and out of the church. In and out of the church. Well, this goes big and broad. Out of the church and so on. So now, for our church members, we have to be careful about the holy huddles. When somebody in the assembly here, they get somebody else over there in the corner back here somewhere out in the parking lot, and they start saying, what pastor said today, I just don't agree with that. I'm not sure about what he's trying to say there or where he's trying to take us here, what he's saying here. That's when you say, all right, you and I, he's still in the building, you and I go in, let's talk to the pastor about your concern. That's what you do. You don't say, yeah, I was wondering about that as well. Well, if you're wondering about what I'm saying or whatever I'm doing here, or whoever the pastor might be, if you're wondering, then go talk to the person. So the issue here is, are you here in the assembly to learn the Word of God or to be a critic of everybody? That's your hard attitude. Now, I understand sometimes in my own teaching and so on, I may take some giant steps and people not following the giant steps and so on. So I'm open to you asking questions about me and so on. And so since I teach seminary as well, we have seminary men in there. And they say, well, wait a minute, we explain that again, or we go back over this and give more detail. Nothing wrong with that. I'm open to that because my desire is to transfer the truth as I understand it in the Word of God to other people so they'll have the truth and live by it. Follow that? And so, but to be critical about everything is, the problem is with you. Now, as we all know, every pastor is fallible, all right? So we're not trying to excuse pastors, but so are you. So am I. We're all fallible, all right? And you try being the perfect pastor. Work on that. If you become the perfect pastor, then I want to go to your church. Maybe I'll become perfect, just like the pastor. No, so we're not trying to excuse pastors. There are pastors of an old nation. Many of them get into sin and so on. We know these things. But there's a definite defamation. So defamation, defaming somebody from within and from without. So along the way, yeah, I may have a couple enemies here and there around the world, but I'm not sure about that. But when it's defamation from within, see, that's the sin. That's the terrible part of it. And if you know about going on, then you have responsibility to talk to the individual. And then finally, disaster. All right, so here we have departure, defamation, disaster. At some point, church discipline occurs. But he or she, so it might be a man or a woman, he or she, does not care. That's the issue. Does not care if they're disciplined out of a church. Now, if I were kicked out of a Roman Catholic church, I'd be rejoicing that they're apostate. You know. But being disciplined out of a New Testament assembly that tries to practice the doctrine and practice of Scripture and be disciplined out of that and not care, there's a real spiritual problem there. You follow that? So he or she does not care. In the meantime, he or she hops or stops. There you have it. Hops and stops. Either hops around to different churches, never joining another one, because how can I ever trust a pastor or a church? How can I ever do that? Hops around, I'm going to this one. Oh, pastor said something, I'm going to go to this one. This one, jump around. Or stops. Stops going to church. Since COVID came, there's been a large percentage of professed Christians in churches who just have stopped going to church and they're not going back. The percentage is out there. So hopping around or stopping going to church. So if a person is a true Christian, his life becomes a mess. And whether he faces major difficulties in this life, he certainly will at the great loss he will receive at the judgment seat of Christ. So the Lord's or the believer's responsibility is to be a member of a New Testament assembly. So, in all this, this is a checklist. Checklist you keep in your Bible, in your yellow notebook, and so on. So, do you see yourself in any of the D's? Hey, look at this. So as we're going through this, don't say, oh, I'm thinking of somebody over here. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of that person over here. Yeah, that distraction, dissent, disagreements, distancing, disappearance, I'm thinking of that person over there. Well, we know what's going to happen to that person, but what about you? What about me? So, what about me? I have to think about this. Before we came here, I wasn't a pastor, I was a church member. I had to examine my heart. I had to examine my heart as well. And went through some of these things in my own heart and life. So you know, some of us were forced to do that because we saw the direction of how things were going to go and so on. So we had to examine ourselves regularly. And we decided, I think personally and unitedly, we're not going to bring about a public defamation towards anybody or any the church or pastor. We tried to leave quietly because I realized the way I handle this is the way I would want somebody else to handle it if I were the pastor. So I tried to practice that perspective on them. All right, so hopefully we don't see ourselves in any of the D's there. there is a pattern. There's a pattern, and so we need to be careful. So we come back to our Matthew 28, 19, and 20. So this is the Great Commission to start churches, and churches like ours, where we assemble around the Word of God. We are born again Christians. We get baptized through the membership. We have responsibility then to serve the Lord in our lives and so on. And so we can keep this here. And every so often we look at, where am I today? Where am I today? Am I criticizing? Am I criticizing the food in there? Am I criticizing anything? What am I criticizing? Am I criticizing something here that I shouldn't be? That doesn't mean we don't analyze things. And if we see things are out of order, we can go through the right channels to try to deal with them. But we don't just criticize and pass the criticisms on to others and try to get a movement going on because, yeah, we're on agreement. There's major problems here. And especially when you never talk to the pastor, who is a problem solver with the scriptures. Amen. Anyway, all right, so much for that. We've got a few minutes left here. So we'll come back here to Matthew 28:19-20. And so, here's what the Lord said. This the Lord said this after his resurrection. When he talked to his 11 disciples, there in verse 16, they went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So after his resurrection, he appointed them. You meet here, and I'll visit you in my resurrected body. So he did. It might have been Mount Hermon, for that matter. That's where he said, I will build my church, Mount Hermon. But anyway, he tells them, go ye therefore, or actually having gone, so wherever you are, you've gone to wherever you are. So where you are right now, think of this, you have gone to this place where you are right now, right? I mean, this is profound, but think of that. You're where you are right now because you have gone. Having gone then, or go, or having gone then, and teach all nations, as Jew and Gentile, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So this is by immersion into local church membership. So baptizing, that's a verbal idea, and we call ourselves Baptists as a noun, because as Baptists we baptize. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's the triune Godhead, so we believe in the Trinity, the triune Godhead. God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And teaching them to observe all things. So that's what I'm attempting to do here. That's what we do in our service. So we teach and preach the Word of God so people will know the truth and grow in it. Amen. Grow in it. So you think here for a minute on this history of mankind. So here we have a timeline all the way down from the very beginning. We have the cross here. So in this teaching all the way back here about 4000 BC back here, Now here we are down here, 2023. So here we are. So here's the truth. Truth about Christ's redemption. It's given way back here to Adam and Eve. Then the seed promise. So as an individual here, wherever an individual is, As an individual goes through life, the Lord gives to every person. He gives every person a conscience, whereby we know good and evil, good and bad in general. He gives us a conscious consciousness. We have a consciousness of, that we're made in the image of God. He gives us creation. So you look out the window and you figure out someone greater than man has put all this together. And then we have the commandments. Commandments of Scripture. Commandments of Scripture. So here's what the Lord gives us. So Romans says man is without excuse. So in our trail of our lifetime, starting with Adam, the Lord gave him one command. The Lord was there. He made him in his image. He had a consciousness of God. He had a conscience, right and wrong. A creation. He's right in the middle of creation there. And he gave him one commandment. Don't eat of the tree. One commandment. That's simple. Don't eat of the tree. So Adam had his opportunity in his trail, his lifetime, to have truth. So truth was given to Adam. Truth is given to all mankind, all through history. So we go through life, and the Lord gives us the truth through conscience, consciousness, creation, and commandments. And what are we going to do with this truth? What are we going to do with the truth? So we go through life. Maybe just one time where it all comes together for us. Like in a church service, we're getting the Word of God here. So you've got a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. Co-knowledge of truth or co-knowledge of ethics. A consciousness of God. We're made in the image of God. We look out the window. There's obviously a creation. This didn't all evolve. And commandments. And so these all come together for every person, and what are they going to do with truth? Sometimes in their life, they receive the truth, and I want more. Sometimes when they receive the truth, this all comes together, and they say, no, I'm pushing it off. I'm done with it. Not interested in that. And so there are consequences. If you don't receive the Lord as Savior, you're going to go to the lake of fire. If you do receive the Lord as Savior, you're going to go to... Bible calls it heaven. So everybody has an opportunity in this life. So Paul makes it very clear. Man is without excuse. All men are without excuse. So what are you going to do with truth as it comes your way? Going to receive it or reject it? Receive it or reject it. So local church gives out the truth. That's what we're trying to do here. And so we're thankful for everyone here, and we pray that the Lord will use all this for His glory. Our Father, we praise Thee for this time that we can open the Word of God. We pray that You'll bless our services now, and thank You for the Word of God and opportunity to deal with these things and help us all examine our hearts about where we are relative to the Lord and relative to His promises of salvation and sanctification. Bless each one now, we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.